This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes Durham, good morning. We finally made it to the eve of the ACC Football Championship.
Absolutely right, Pat. Great to be with you on a Friday morning. Look forward to catching up with, man, we got a great show. 8 o'clock this morning, Kirk Herbstreit will join us. He and Chris Fowler, Maria Taylor will have the call tomorrow on ABC at 4 o'clock of Clemson and Notre Dame. 8:30, Marty Smith. He spent all weekend, or all week, I should say, with Clemson. So we'll get the latest from Tiger Town with the Marty Party. 9 o'clock hour, John Swofford, who will present that title trophy tomorrow, has had some interesting comments this week about the stage being set in his final ACC football championship game before Jim Phillips takes over in February. And at 9:30, Roddy Jones will be here with the latest maybe X's and O's of what to expect tomorrow in the ball game. Plus, Pack's visit with Dabo Swinney from yesterday's off-campus on SiriusXM ESPNU Radio, Channel 84, coming up bottom of this hour at 7:30. But we start with the stage of the 2020 ACC Football Championship. And quite simply, the biggest game that's been played in the history of ACC football. No two ways about it. You can look at it in a couple of different combinations, and it still comes out to be the biggest ACC game ever staged. When you have number 2 Notre Dame and number 3 Clemson tomorrow, the winner, unless Pack's going to eat kale for the rest of his life, will go to the college football playoff.
Guaranteed lock that the winner is in. If it happens to be Clemson, I think the chances of the ACC getting 2 in the college football playoff are still really, really good. Notre Dame's resume speaks for itself. There is no doubt the hype for this game through the roof. The only thing that stinks is there's only going to be about 5,000 people in the stands to see it. But, Wes, the television numbers for this game are going to be fascinating. When you look back in history at the ACC football championship game, 10.1 million was the largest number. That was Florida State, Georgia Tech in 14. I'm going to go ahead and say tomorrow we'll blow that out of the water. I think he's going to blow it out of the water.
Yep.
Now, to keep in mind, Notre Dame-Clemson Part 1 this year basically did the same television number, all right? Same TV number. That was on NBC prime time. So this is going to be ABC afternoon into the early evening. But everybody's talking about it. This is like the game. Maybe no disrespect to anybody else and other conference championship games. And by the way, speaking of, COVID has already taken one away from us, which popped up, unfortunately, for the Sun Belt, which really stinks with Louisiana and Coastal Carolina. So again, knock on wood, we're going to talk as if this game is on for tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. And that's probably dangerous given the way we've been operating here around the country for the last month and change with football games. But this game, everybody's buzzing about it. It's got the biggest implication, not only within, obviously, for an ACC championship, but the trickle-down effect on the college football playoffs, right? If Notre Dame wins, guaranteed they're in. Clemson wins, guaranteed they're in. But if the Irish win and Clemson's out, two losses. We've never seen a team get into the college football playoffs with two L's. It leads to a humongous debate. But again, I'm not going to play the what-if game because we could do that till 10 a.m. and get nothing accomplished. The great thing, I think, and I've been harping on it for I don't know how long, 2 weeks, the ACC takes center stage in the college football world tomorrow. No disrespect to any other conference game. This is the biggest game, and there's nothing close to it. Nothing. And given the fact that these two have already played each other, I think even adds to more intrigue because the Irish played lights out, double overtime win. We knew about no Trevor, you know, no Tyler Davis, no Skalski, no Joe. Hey, we've had that storyline. You know the story. Everybody and their brother appears to be good to go for tomorrow. The weather, in case anybody's interested, I touched base with a meteorologist here in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area. Mid-40s, perfecto. So there's no excuses tomorrow, right? Don't want to hear about dog eat my homework. Hey, whatever you got, you bring it. Everything's at stake. Teams know each other. Both have championship DNA. We know about Notre Dame's storyline within the league. This is probably their swan song in terms of that, you know, that go-around, which is fine if they do whatever they want to do. We know Clemson's won 5 straight. This is their 6th straight title appearance. I mean, you can't script a better case scenario. It's awesome.
Right. I think the historical ramifications of this, when you start looking at how often number one, top five teams in the Associated Press poll meet once a year, let alone twice a year, the fact that they were top five the first time and they're top five the second time, that rarely happens in the history of college football. The other aspect about this is, yeah, Notre Dame on loan, sure. Irish have joined the ACC in football. But the fact we get two of the premier teams on a stage in the Atlantic Coast Conference in 2020 and all the things that have been around the 2020 football season, if you will, and then have a chance to potentially have two teams in the college football playoff. In fact, this is groundbreaking stuff for the ACC. I think that's one of the things that's most attractive about it is the historical ramifications of the game. Now, there have been plenty of games of the century, right? How many of those have we had?
Too many.
But you can go back to a handful of them. The only other time I can remember a conference championship game being of this ilk was back in the BCS era when, Florida-Alabama was winner-take-all pack at the Georgia Dome in the SEC. And that was a BCS. That was essentially to stay in the final two. The winner was going to stay in. The loser obviously was not, and Alabama won the game. The thing here of intrigue is if Clemson wins, both teams are going to get into the playoff. Notre Dame wins, as Pac has said, they're a lock, absolutely. The winner is a lock. But if it's Clemson, you got a really good chance you're going to see two ACC schools in the college football playoff.
Well, you mentioned the historical reference. I brought this up to Dabo yesterday, and I'm not sure you'll hear it or you might hear it. I'm not sure. But I brought up the stat that since the AP poll era, which started 1936, tomorrow will only mark the fourth time since 1936, that you'll have two teams, both ranked in the top five, that will see each other for the second time, two times in 1 year, still ranked in the top five. And the ironic twist to all of that is the team that lost the first game has won the second game. And not only have they won the second game, they've won the second game by at least 21 points, which makes no sense whatsoever, but that is college football, right? I say it all the time. The more you read, the more you study, the dumber you get on Saturdays. But how about this? This is it. This is the list. It's only happened three times since 1936. And tomorrow will be the fourth time. And it will be tied into the Atlantic Coast Conference with Notre Dame and Clemson. But as you see, the guy that lost the first go-around took care of business in the second go-around and dominated. Won by 21 or more. So kind of weird, kind of goofy. Yeah. I would be stunned, quite frankly, if there's a 21-point or more gap tomorrow. I just think these two teams are going to play another fistfight. Why wouldn't they? I mean, the first one was so great. Why wouldn't the second one? Again, I know Vegas has got Clemson as a double-digit favorite. I'm not a gambler. Don't really quite understand it. But, hey, there's some smart people out there in the desert. But, boy, the thing that I love about it the most is that the ACC is the main attraction tomorrow.
Yeah. The fact that it's the biggest game in ACC history comes as you shouldn't be surprised. These two teams have been unbelievable all year long. The fact they were top, three, I guess, the first time pack, and now they're top three again is something to keep an eye on. The thing about it is the first game was so good, everybody speculated this week there's no possible way it can be that good again. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Be hard to top the drama of the first one, though. Because, I mean, you had number one on the road without the star QB. I mean, you had the perfect kind of setup for the first one, and Notre Dame really had to play well. And literally the second play of the game, they punched him in the nose and said, hey, we're going to be hanging around tonight now. You know this, right? And you had, you had Clemson, who was the big bad boy in the ACC, having to play catch-up all night, and they did. And when they finally took the lead, you're like, all right, they're going to figure out a way to win this thing again. And then Notre Dame said, no, not so fast. And they put on that 91-yard drive. I mean, that game had such great drama, even in a COVID pandemic setting, that it just had people buzzing. And it was by far the best game of college football this year. Can it live up to the billing and the hype tomorrow? I don't know. But I know this much. Everybody and their brother is going to be watching it. And the trickle down of the winner in terms of the big picture of college football – It's the most important game of the day tomorrow, and I just can't emphasize that enough. Yeah. But two big-time teams, and, man, we are blessed and lucky because I keep thinking back to May and June and July, Wes, doing these shows and the radio show in the afternoon thinking, gosh, can you imagine? Right. There's a real true possibility. We might not have any college football. And, you know, we're going to have also Florida State and Wake Forest tomorrow, and the ACC is going to play 86 of 90 games. And I can't emphasize enough what a phenomenal accomplishment that is. When you consider where we are right now from a COVID perspective around the country, much less athletics. But if you would have told me in the middle of June, hey, take a deep breath, Pat, go get another glass of bourbon, get an ice cube. Don't worry, we're going to play 86 of 90 in the ACC. I'd say you are out of your mind. And here we are. So, again, tip of the cap to all the players, coaches, medical officials, athletic directors, John Swofford, the league. I mean, really just a sensational job and really kind of true for everybody around the country. This was an effort of which I'm not sure that we will really understand or appreciate, maybe even 10, 15 years down the road when you look back and realize, can you believe we played that many games in college football? And the effort that was made by all these student athletes behind the scenes to just try to stay healthy and just go out and compete. I mean, truly amazing. So enjoy tomorrow. Embrace it, really, and hug it.
I think the interesting part is we've gotten to the championship game, and as you mentioned, the last regular season game, which will be at noon tomorrow with Florida State visiting Wake Forest here on ACC Network. Then you start looking at just kind of how does the dynamic work, right? We had some bumps here at the end. The line was not straight. It was very crooked in the last month of the regular season for sure. But found a way, and as Pac said, a great credit to the institutions and everybody involved. But in particular, the coaches and student athletes to stay healthy and stay vigilant against the coronavirus the best they possibly could.
And Wes, when I throw that number of 86 of 90, it really does make everybody who's been critical of the ACC's decision a couple of weeks ago, it's almost laughable, to be honest with you, when you think about why is anybody throwing any mud towards anybody? I mean, this is a league that played 86 of 90. The Atlantic Coast Conference, that old basketball league. The ACC will play more football games than anybody. And for any other outsider taking shots at how the league has conducted their business, to be honest with you, not only is it belittling to you, the person throwing the mud, but you probably need to take a step back and just do a little inventory because it was an amazing accomplishment, what the league has done. And I can't emphasize that enough. Nobody's going to play more college football than the ACC. And at the end of the day, the league is going to have the best conference championship game and could very well have 50% of the college football playoff. So that's a pretty good track record.
By the way, we're getting our no doubt, and we're working our way as a result of the success in college football. We're working our way toward award season, right, Mark? Plenty of college football awards, but the National Football Foundation and College Football Hall of Fame has already handed out one award. And the John Toner Award was announced yesterday by the NFF. And congratulations to Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame, who won the award for excellence in athletic administration. So Mr. Swarbrick arrives in Charlotte for the championship game, already a winner, as they say. It's a very distinguished honor among athletics directors to be awarded by the National Football Foundation. So Steve Hatchell and everybody involved with the Football Foundation, and our congratulations to Jack Swarbrick as well for the honor of the Toner Award.
And you know what? Notre Dame, if you remember, back in May and June, Notre Dame was kind of like a standard to see, all right, how are they going to operate? You know, they were talking about what they're going to do from a class standpoint, and they had some COVID issues, and they brought everybody off. And I mean, so Notre Dame really, in some respects, from a national perspective, the decisions that were made to conduct not only your athletic business, but also your academic business was really kind of a standard bearer in terms of, all right, is that the way you're going to handle that? How do you, and when you do have a hiccup, how do you go about your business? So again, Jack did a tremendous job there, and well-deserved. There's so many people that did unbelievable jobs this year just getting this thing. We talked about Jeff Hafley the other day in Boston College, kind of being the poster child with only one positive test with over 9,000 conducted. And we talked to Jeff about that the other day. Yeah. I mean, again, there's so many amazing stories this year. Forget about wins and losses a second. If your team had a great year, awesome. You know, again, embrace it, hug it. If your team had a lousy year, hey, it's too bad. But, man, the fact that you just got out there and did your thing is a win all unto itself. And I'm not trying to pass out trophies to everybody here, but during the pandemic, it's truly amazing how many games we got in.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Thursdays on Game Week, normally Dabo Swinney joins me on Off Campus, which you can check out on SiriusXM Channel 84. And yesterday was no different. And so sitting down with the coach, I asked Dabo Swinney, you know what? After that first game, you said we got whooped in the trenches. I suspect that's been discussed here the last couple weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we got to play better. We got to be more efficient on both sides of the ball. It's not about how many yards you rush for. It's about the efficiency of what you're doing. And we weren't very good on either side of the ball in that area. And that usually leads to, third down. We got to be more precise on third down. We weren't very good there. But the biggest thing is we got to take care of the football. We had three turnovers to their one. They had 10 points off those turnovers. We had none. And that's in a game where it's razor thin, oftentimes that's the difference. And we had some big plays. They had some big plays. They probably made a couple more competitive plays than we did. I thought they won the field position battle as well. And it was a heck of a game. But, this will be it's a whole new deal. I mean, you don't get to carry anything over, good or bad. But we're excited about it. When this one's over, they're going to hand a trophy out. And it's going to go to the team who earned it on the field.
Tim Beray, your buddy, my buddy, the legend, Bone, as I've nicknamed him from 1,000 years ago, was on our show earlier this week. And he mentioned in the five previous Clemson-Notre Dame games, the team that was won the turnover battle has won the game. And when you get really competitive, really good football teams, like you said, it's normally the little things that win games.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's the fundamentals and the technique that hold up under pressure, and that is definitely what makes the difference. Oftentimes, I mean, you can go back to the last game. I mean, the first play, they score a touchdown. We don't fit the run right. I mean, you gotta fit things properly. It's hard enough, because they can still block you and guys can still make yards after contact and things like that. But if you don't fit things right, this bunch will expose you. And it's how you rush the quarterback. It's your rush integrity. It's a receiver going, seven steps instead of five. And so that the timing is the way it needs to be. And the DB doesn't get that early break to break the ball up or pick it off or whatever. So it's just the little things and being able to have precision in your execution. Details. We are who we are. They are who they are. Who can execute with precision in what they do. And it's three or four plays, in games like this. And that's what makes it fun. It's a lot of fun to play in a championship game. We kind of try to have that championship mentality every single week around here. But this week, like I said, they actually will hand a trophy out afterwards. And that's exciting to know you're at this point in the season.
Since you've watched tape after seeing those guys back on November 7th, do you see anything differently about the way they've gone about their business? I mean, they seem to be a much more confident team after the match back in November.
Yeah, I mean, they're confident and they're similar. I would say maybe one difference is I think that they're really throwing the ball with a lot more swagger, if you will. I think going in our game, that was – They were really confident running the football and everything that came off the run game, but kind of everything went through the run game. And I'd say since our game, these last three games that they played, they're really throwing the ball. Their receivers have really developed throughout the course of the season. I think that was an area on their team that they really needed to develop and grow into as the season went, and that's what's happened. I mean, they're really good. 88-11-3. Have really developed nicely for them. Their tight ends are heavily involved, but But I think the three receivers, the confidence has grown tremendously in that group. And that's, you know, they've made big, big plays. And, you know, a lot of competitive plays. You know, they're confident pushing the ball down the field. That's probably the one thing since our game that I think even makes them more dangerous is just, you know, their confidence there with those receivers.
From a health standpoint, obviously there were a few dudes that didn't make the game on November the 7th. I'm assuming – that those guys are in pretty good shape for Saturday?
Yeah, we're in as, you know, good a spot as we can possibly be in there. Best we've been in a long time, that's for sure. So we've gotten, you know, it's crazy. We've had to get better as the season went. We just have had a lot of injuries this year, and obviously COVID and all the stuff that everybody's dealt with. But yeah, we're in a good place, especially since the last time we played this team here. Good to have those guys back, and you know, we're still down in a couple areas, but you know, everybody is at this point. But I love the team we got that we'll be able to put on the field and go compete for this championship.
Does it matter that you've been here before? I mean, this is your sixth consecutive ACC championship game. You again, the college football playoff has almost become routine, which I think folks need to understand. It's a hard thing to get into the college football playoff and to be able to do it as consistently as you have here in the last handful of years. Does that come into play at all here? Because let's be honest, Notre Dame, you saw those guys back in 2018. You know, they're used to bright lights too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, winning breeds confidence and past experience, you know, is a good thing. And we've got a lot of guys on our team that, I mean, this is the expectation. This is what we expect. We expect to be playing in this game. That's our mindset. This is the next goal in our program is to win this league. And, you know, so we plan all year. We work all year for this moment. And, you know, we've been fortunate to be in this game a lot. And the years that we haven't, hey, we're disappointed and we come back the next year and go compete again. But the goal is to be a team that's got a shot and that's in it, that's constantly in position to compete for this league. And, you know, in 12 years, we've been able to do that a lot. And we're not going to win it every year. We're not going to win the national championship every year. But, man, we want to be a team that's got a chance. And any given year, man, the ball can bounce your way. And that's a good thing. But I do love the fact that we got a lot of guys on this team that you know, they expected to be here. And, you know, they put the work in. This team's made an incredible commitment and sacrifice all year long. Great leadership. And, again, this is what they've worked for. They know exactly what it takes. And, hey, let's go kick it off and see what happens.
Very best of luck Saturday. And it should be just a phenomenal football game. It should be a win-win for all college football fans. It's kind of cool to see the ACC take center stage on Championship Saturday, because it is the game.
Well, I'm excited to be a part of the, as you said, the biggest game in the history. That's pretty cool. I'm just gonna take your word for that. Since dirt. We had some big games now, Pac. We've had some big games.
Now, hey, I understand it, but this is an ACC game. I mean, for you know, Notre Dame, I don't know how long they're gonna be hanging around in the league for football, so I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. So if you happen to play great and win that trophy, when you pick that thing up from Swofford on Saturday night, for argument's sake, I want you to say, we just won the greatest ACC game since dirt. And here it is right here.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to see if I can file that away somewhere. If I can put that if I got any space anywhere in my head, I'll see if I can remember that. Hang on to that.
All right.
Mark Packard said, and I just want to make sure, maybe we can engrave that somewhere on the trophy. That'd be great.
Hey, you know, you got to win it first. You know, they're not handing those things out for free. Man, so you got to go earn that thing Saturday.
A lot of work to do. We're excited.
That was Dabo yesterday on Off Campus. And, hey, he knows what this is all about. So, you know what? This is why I love this game. Because here's Notre Dame, right, with all their great tradition and history. They've never won a conference championship. So, I mean, it's like a whole different universe for Notre Dame tomorrow, too, which makes it great. And here's Clemson. They won five in a row. They're back trying to win six. Irish got them the first go around. Again, not only do you have the championship pressure of tomorrow, you also have the big picture, and that is both of these teams are thinking, hey, we're good enough to win the national championship. This ACC title would be nice. We got to get it first before we go win the big one. So, again, the league has positioned itself to perfection going into Saturday, and you can't ask for anything more than that.
And you have got Dabo at least thinking about saying since dirt if he wins.
It's something we started on the show, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
It's unbelievable.
It's all in fun. But this is the biggest ACC football game since dirt tomorrow. There is no doubt. We've had some good ones, but this one has every box checked. It really does.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Can't wait for tomorrow. Man, seriously, it's just, you could kind of even feel the buildup. And I know I'm here in Charlotte and all that stuff. And like I said, the only thing that would be better is if this place was packed tomorrow. Can you imagine Notre Dame and Clemson fans rolling into Charlotte if we had a chance to have a real crowd tomorrow? How crazy that would be. It's the only thing that's missing.
I was talking with someone yesterday in the Raleigh area about just how different the season has been, not having the real college football environment, right? The regular, the bands, the tailgating, the pregame, postgame traffic, the whole bit, right? I mean, we haven't even come remotely close to those experiences for obvious reasons. It struck me kind of in that when I was talking to the guy, I said, yeah, no telling what the street value would be on some tickets for certain games. Imagine this one. The get-in price would be what? Crazy?
There's going to be, 5,000 folks there? 5,240, I think, is the exact attendance number. And for folks that are lucky enough to have their hand on one of those, you're sitting there talking about chance for Clemson to win their sixth straight, go right back to the college football playoff. Yep. You're talking about Notre Dame's possible only conference championship game ever. I mean, in all likelihood, they're going to go independent. Mm-hmm. Again, Jack Swarbrick can handle that himself. He didn't need us to determine it for him. But, I mean, just think of what's at stake tomorrow and the place in history. We just gave you the stat. It's only going to be the fourth time since 1936. Two teams are going to play twice in 1 year. And every time they've hooked up, they've both been in the AP top five. Only four of them. And tomorrow's the fourth. I mean, this is a big deal tomorrow, not only within the ACC, obviously, but in college football. So I'm also curious to see what the television number is going to be, regardless of outcome.
Cool. You know,
where will it stand in the history of conference championship games? And granted, it's not going to be the primetime 8 o'clock game, which it has been many, many times before. It's your 4 o'clock ABC special. And of course, we've got Kirk Herbstreit coming up here in about 25 minutes or so to break down the game even further, but it is a big deal tomorrow.
It also will go a long way to determining a couple different things tomorrow. There is a sense that in some respect, the player of the year in the ACC will be determined by tomorrow's game. Whether it will be Ian Book of Notre Dame or whether it will be Trevor Lawrence or Clemson. Those two have kind of been on a collision course, and quite frankly, since Trevor didn't play in the first one, the collision course will be tomorrow in Charlotte because the votes are due Sunday. And here, look at the numbers. You see Books played 10 games, 63%, 2,382 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 465 rushing yards. Trevor Lawrence, 69%, 2,431 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, run for 121 yards. QBRs are identical. Pack, fair or not, that game tomorrow might determine player of the year.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of them that are going to be determined. There are going to be a lot of tiebreakers potentially tomorrow in terms of we've talked about how difficult the all-ACC voting is going to be, and there are so many position groups. You're like, man, I've got 2 spots. I got 10 guys I got to choose from. If somebody has one of those games tomorrow where you go, wow, that's a tiebreaker. So, you know, this is what pressure football is all about. This is why we love sports as fans. You get games where, hey, it matters who wins. It matters who loses. You keep score. This is one of those scoreboard games. This is one of those, hey, you want to go see our trophy case? Come over here. Check this out. I mean, this is what makes legends. Again, I think it's the biggest game, like I told you, it's the biggest game in the history of ACC football. I mean, what else do you need to know? We've been playing now for almost seven decades. And when you start taking roll, I think when you start talking about number two Notre Dame, number three Clemson for an ACC title and a spot in the college football playoff, what else? I mean, how does it get any bigger than that? I don't know how it could.
No, I'm with you. Well, here's the other snap stat that I found that was really interesting. Against Boston College and Notre Dame, Clemson trailed for 98 and 94 snaps, okay, in those two games. Trevor Lawrence missed both those games, obviously. The Tigers have trailed for 10 snaps combined in the other eight games this season. Now, that's a crazy snap. That's crazy.
That tells you they're also always playing with the lead. But I'll go back to that Notre Dame game. You know, the Irish dictated tempo on November 7th, right? And they did it on the second play of the game when Williams goes for the touch. And, you know, there's nothing better when you see a defending champ say, all right, you gotten pushed down. How are you going to respond? Well, you saw how that game played out. And I will go back to something I harped on it with you earlier this week. If I'm Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, I love the fact that they win the first game and they're getting kind of treated like a big underdog. I don't understand it. Again, I'm not a gambler. I don't understand all that stuff. But it's like, hey, wait a minute. We watched the first game. Yeah, I know Clemson lost, had a few stars. I get it. But you can't convince me that this is a 10-point spread. And I don't care if you think Notre Dame should win by 10. I don't think there's 10 points difference between us. Now, again, we may get this game tomorrow in the finals 42-17 for all I know. But going into it, it just doesn't feel right. And I think Notre Dame's probably loving the fact that, hey, all right, it's almost as if it didn't count that we beat these guys the first go-around, so now we got to prove it again. Well, yeah, tomorrow's what it's all about. And for Clemson, you know, there's got to be a sense of, hey, you know what, they kind of pushed us around a little bit. And, yeah, we didn't have all our weapons, but, hey, we competed. We had the lead with 2 minutes ago. We just couldn't figure out a way to close it. So there is really so much intrigue on both sides going into this, even though both of them are sitting in rank number two and number three in the country. Again, I can't wait to talk to Herb Street coming up here in 20 minutes, too. I'm curious to get his take on the feel heading into this game tomorrow.
A couple more things here on the awards line and the finality of the season tomorrow, at least from a regular season championship game perspective. Kyren Williams, who had a phenomenal game the first time out against Clemson, is probably in line to be one of the first team All-ACC running backs. However, Khalil Herbert had a phenomenal year. More news on him later in the show. And also, Javonte Williams has had an incredible year, right? But has Kyren Williams done enough? Two-time ACC running back of the week, first Notre Dame player ever to be a player of the week in a conference. But has Kyren Williams done enough to be first team? Probably so. Who joins him? Williams. It's hard to believe we're not talking about Travis Etienne, right, Pac? But
yeah.
Khalil Herbert and Javonte Williams, probably the other two, with Kyren Williams of Notre Dame. Okay, so there are his numbers. You see fourth in rushing yards, ninth in yards per rush, fourth in yards after contact, tied for third in total touchdowns. Of that combination of backs, Kyren Williams, Javonte Williams of Carolina, Khalil Herbert, good chance that two first-team All-ACC running backs are going to emerge. Here's the other one to go to break on. Coach of the Year. Now, you have to kind of take into account Brian Kelly, if he wins tomorrow, will have gone through the ACC campaign undefeated. Now, Coach of the Year is always an interesting animal because you have to kind of take what the expectation was and what the delivery is, right? How good was Notre Dame supposed to be, Pac? They will have beaten Clemson twice if they win tomorrow. Is Brian Kelly deserving a Coach of the Year? Or do you take the case of, you know, a team we've charted all year long, talked about their success and their ability to rebound, NC State. Right. Dave Dorn's done a phenomenal job. Wolfpack won more conference games this year than they ever have. How do we measure that in this awkward 2020 season?
I would have thrown Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz.
Yeah, I would have thrown Manny Diaz in there too until 62-26 happened, and I think that probably was a little bit of a step back. I think Jeff Hafley at BC, just an incredible
There's
job.
Another one.
Just talked to him the other day. To me, those are the four guys. I thought Dave Clawson this year did a tremendous job given his personnel losses. And granted, the Deeks went a month without playing, and then you had their game Saturday where they looked a little rusty. And why wouldn't you? Did you take a month off? But I think this will come down to a Brian Kelly, Dave Doran conversation, regardless of what happens tomorrow with Notre Dame. But you know, we've talked about Dave Doran and the job they've done at NC State, and it was an important year. Not only did he have to make staff changes, again, he had the whole COVID thing that everybody's been through, lose your starting quarterback, and still found ways to win. Knocked off two ranked teams during the course of the year with Pitt. On the road, a game you did, and not to mention Liberty at home.
Yep.
Dorn's going to be in the conversation. Brian Kelly's in the conversation. I would put Hafley and Diaz in the conversation. I think that the combination of those four, the answer to the question is either A, B, C, or D. But I do think it's going to be, if Kelly sweeps and goes 11-0 and sweeps Clemson.
It'll be hard to beat.
I know that everybody thought Notre Dame was the preseason top 10, all that great stuff, and you knew they were going to be good. But that's strong. And what Dave Dorn did this year at NC State was remarkable, too, with what we just discussed. So, to me, I think it's a combination of those four. And if you had to narrow it to two, I do think it's kind of a Kelly-Dorn conversation.
Yeah. I think the other thing gets lost in the NC State season, not only the quarterback change, the half dozen or different line combinations they ended up having this year because of injuries in the offensive line, and yet – you know, you still had Bam Knight have a great year, Ricky Person, Jordan Houston, guys like that contributing. And then the quarterbacks, you know, you went from Bailey Hockman to Devin Leary, and then after the Duke game, back to Bailey Hockman, who finished the year pretty strong. Finished the year really strong.
And we're going to touch on
quarterbacks in 21 later, too.
Yeah, I don't have a vote, as you all know, but the fact that Dave Dorn brought donuts to rag the huddle, that would get a little bonus.
Oh, that was the best.
For me. Now, I don't have a vote.
Yeah, there you go.
But again, anybody bringing donuts, taking shots, I like it. So that works. That works for me.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Big decision coming down from the ACC in the last hour. Notre Dame football will get the chance to win the ACC title this upcoming season.
In my 11 years now at Notre Dame, it's never been on the goal chart. It's never been anything that we've discussed. It's always been to win a national championship. So we've made a little room on the goal board now to put ACC championship in there this year.
It's going to be a great opportunity, but keep the basic tenets of football first and foremost in how we play Notre Dame football.
Game over! Notre Dame knocks off number one!
When we talk about, you know, winning this game, we talk about winning the ACC championship. The program is at stake.
You get more of Notre Dame's journey in the ACC coming up tomorrow on The Huddle, 10 a.m. Jordan Cornette with E.J. Manuel, Eric McClain, and Coach Mark Richt. Plus, you'll have Tiger and Irish greats with their game predictions. All that and more tomorrow here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. I know one thing. That number 9, the linebacker, is a bad man. Golly. Every time you see a Owusu Koramoah, whoo, son, gracious alive, Pack.
Well, 6 ain't bad either. But nevertheless, there's so many Sunday dudes. There are so many Sunday guys that you're going to watch tomorrow. And listen, when you got teams ranked number 2, number 3, this is what it's about. You know, this is why you just sit, like I said, you get your favorite food and your beverage and put your feet up, boys, at 4, and go watch the ACC play some football. Like I said, you're going to be sending guys all over the place. I cannot wait for this game. It is going to – when we get back Monday, we're going to have so much to talk about regardless of outcome because, like I said, it's got such a humongous bearing on the college football playoffs. And a team like North Carolina is sitting there on the couch tomorrow watching going, hey, you know, do we have a chance at the Orange Bowl? Well, guess what? We're going to have answers for you on Monday. So the trickle-down effect of this game and its outcome affects everybody, whether you're North Carolina, NC State, what kind of bowl you're going to go to, Miami. I mean, the list goes on and on and on here. So this is, again, I'm just thrilled for the league because, you know, when the conference decided to make a commitment to football, this is what it was intended to be, a big-time rock'em sock'em, the world is watching football game, and the ACC reached that finish line, ironically, under John Swofford's leadership, and we'll talk to the commissioner later on about it.
Yeah, I look forward to the commissioner about 9 o'clock this morning. Kirk Herbstreit coming up, top of the hour, to join Packer and Durham. But how about his visit with Ian Book? Important to go back and look at the year Ian Book's had on the way to becoming the winningest quarterback in Notre Dame history.
There is nothing like starting your first game for this institution.
Ian Book throws his first Notre Dame touchdown.
Let's go back to that North Carolina game your freshman year, thinking about you being inserted and playing, and go from that game to becoming the winningest quarterback in Notre Dame history. How would you describe that journey for you?
It's been unbelievable. I say it all the time, it's been a dream come true. I remember that first game, you know, against North Carolina like it was yesterday. And then, you know, to be able to go back and play at North Carolina again this year, it was awesome just to kind of see this dream play out. And it's been an unbelievable journey. I just feel really fortunate. And to be the winningest quarterback, you know, I never would have thought that would have happened. And it's unbelievable. And there's a lot of people, you know, in my corner that I need to thank that helped me achieve that goal.
I want to ask you a question about Notre Dame. There's a perception before you even got on campus. There's almost, I'm just gonna be honest, almost nationally an eye roll when people bring up a Notre Dame, like, you know, they're overrated. Maybe it's not so much this year because people have seen you play Clemson, but do you guys feel that it's like an eye roll, Notre Dame?
Yeah, we talk about it, and I don't know if there's a specific reason for it. I think it's just because it's Notre Dame. You know, there's an outside noise that doubts Notre Dame. I kind of like it, and I think our team likes it. Just use that as fuel. You know, it's a chip on our shoulder that, you know, we got to win every game. We want to win every game, and we believe that we can compete and make it to the playoffs and go win a national championship.
Game over! Notre Dame knocks off number one. The Fighting Irish celebrate a win over top-ranked Clemson.
What did you guys learn about yourselves in that win over Clemson when you guys played earlier this year?
You know, before that game, everybody believed we could win. That's what I felt. You know, there was no doubt. This team knew we could go into that game and get a W. And that's how we feel, you know, going to play them again in this ACC championship. They're a great team. It's a great matchup. But when you got everyone on the same page believing that you can win, that's something special.
I've heard a lot of, well, Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. Well, Skalski wasn't there. Tyler Davis wasn't there. Well. And I'm guessing that that's just creating something for a team that likes a chip on their shoulder. That's got to be cranking right now this week.
Right. We're kind of saying it all week. Well, our 11 guys will be there. You know what I mean? Like, the guys we are going to play with will be there. And that's what matters. But I'm excited that all those guys are back. And, you know, we can play them and have all those people, you know, be quiet once the game's over and we can get this win. But it's adding fuel to the fire. You know, I think it'll be an awesome matchup. But at the end of the day, it's about our guys.
Ian's right, man. 100% right. We're going to show up with our 11. You bring your best. We'll play ours. And heads or tails, let's go for 60. And, of course, it was 60-plus the first go-around. So, you know, and I know there were some folks. I got some emails yesterday about, did you see Ian Book guarantee to win? I'm like, dude, if I was Ian Book, I'd guarantee it too. Hey, you know, you play with confidence when you're a championship DNA. And let me tell you something. Clemson's thinking the same thing. Hey, guess what? We're going to show up. And there's a reason why we've been the standard here the last couple of years in college football. You're going to get a dose of it. So, I mean, let's go play some ball, man. This is, like I said, I'm thrilled and excited. I can't wait to see how this plays out tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I think there'll be a different temperament to this, right? Because you know each other. You kind of know what the game speed's going to be like. You kind of have a familiarity factor to this. I mean, this is not like two teams that have shown up in the college football playoff and maybe haven't seen one another, or a bowl game or a season opener, if you will. There's a lot more that's been uncovered by both schools about the other through that first 60 minutes and change of football in South Bend in early November. And the payoff for ACC fans is a tremendous opportunity to have just a heck of a show tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
I'll tell you what else I like, Wes.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what else I like about it is that they've all had their 2 weeks, right? And I know there's others that have been whining about, hush. These are the two best teams, and they're going to go prove it, and they're going to go play. And so they've had 2 weeks to, number one, try to stay healthy, get healthy, and prepare. It's worked out to perfection from that perspective. And the fact, again, I know Florida State Wake's getting completely lost because it's another game in the ACC tomorrow. And I'll emphasize again, 86 of 90 games have been played, or will be played, hopefully, counting the Wake-Florida State game tomorrow. Yeah. Sensational. And on top of that, you get a game like number two against number three to determine your champion and the big picture of the playoffs. We could never have scripted a better case scenario in the middle of the summer for the Atlantic Coast Conference than what we're going to get, hopefully, tomorrow.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.